Kung Force than that. Talked to yourself back there, Renee. No, I saw her the other night and or the other day somewhere, and asked her next time she come if she got to come to have a song ready. But I should have known you'd be here tonight. See that nephew get baptized. What a blessing! Turn your Bibles back to where we were this morning, the 7th chapter, the book of John. We've been tracing for these few Sundays some events that Jesus did before he went to Calvary. This particular day in John chapter 3, quite a while before, but in those last days, in the scripture we read this morning, how he was going to Calvary to die for the sins of the world. In verse 2 of chapter 7, the book of John, now the Jews' feast Tabernacles was at hand. To better get us acquainted with the Feast of Tabernacles, God was big on feast. He ordained it. Let's go back to the book of Leviticus. In chapter 23, we're going to see that the Jews were doing what God told them to do many, many years later. They had omitted the fact that Christ Jesus was the Messiah that came to his own. They would not receive him, and they did not believe in him. But let's get familiar with this feast that they were attending. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at eve is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And the first day you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no severe work therein. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. And the seventh day is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no severe work therein. The Jews in chapter 7 of the book of John was doing what God told them to do. We saw this morning how 5 groups of people were disapproving of the Lord, not willing to acknowledge that he was Lord. First of all, we saw his brethren. We saw in Matthew that he had 4 brethren. And he had sisters also, and they were saying to the Lord, making fun of him, aren't you going to the Feast of the Tabernacles? Now you better get on up there and shew thyself to thy disciples. We won't be your disciple, but you need to get on up there. But we saw Jesus has never and never will take heed to what man says regarding trying to tell him what to do. We got it all backward. It's he that tells us what to do. He's Lord. We're his servants and his brethren. And Lord, you need to go on up there at the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, when he got there, it was no different because the Jews met him there. And they were wondering. They knew he would be there because he was going to keep the law. And they were looking around for him. Where's Jesus? Not that they wanted to obey him. They wanted to put him to death and have him arrested. They didn't like his teachings. See, he came to do the will of the Father, but the religious crowd had no intent of serving anyone except themselves. Then we saw Jesus as he goes and teaches. Of course, anything worth anything is going to be centered around the house of God. So he goes to the temple and he instructs the people. And they disbelieve him. They don't trust him. They don't have any dealings with him as Lord all they want to do, they call him the devil. You're full of the devil. It's an amazing thing. But let's keep reading, Colleen, where we left off this morning. In verse 20, the people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" Well, they had plotted to kill him in their minds. And Jesus knows their minds. He knows your mind. He knows my mind. He knows before you say it what you're going to say. He knows the intent of her heart. And when he confronted them with, they go about trying to kill them, they deny it, of course, and say he has a devil. Then he answered them and says, "I have done one work and y'all marvel." Said, you were circumcised on the Sabbath day, if it comes about the right time for your son. But I do a miracle on the Sabbath day, and you don't understand that. I am Lord of the Sabbath. Verse 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" He had a few disciples in Jerusalem. They wasn't willing to stand up and face the agitators or those that accused Jesus. But secretly they were saying, "Don't those rulers know that he is Christ?" The answer is, not only did they not know it, they wouldn't accept it. They wouldn't receive him as Lord. And Jesus always answers back in verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, "You both know me. You know whence I am, and I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me." Then they sought to take him. The religious crowd, the brethren, the multitudes, the priests, Sadducees, Pharisees, temple guards, everyone rejects Jesus. And we think that's an awful thing, and it was. What about the world today? Religion has not sought him. In fact, they deny him. Indeed, they may in word proclaim to follow him, but it's not what you say necessarily, it's what you do. People want him to live their life. If he is Lord, then we must let him be Lord. Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord?" It's an amazing thing. "And do not my commandments." And of course, people would think in their minds, well, his commandments are hard. Jesus didn't agree with that. Now, who are we going to believe, Jesus or what we think? Jesus said, "My commandments are not grievous." My commandments. If you're a child of the King, it is simple and easy to follow his commandments. It's hard not to, because you get in some hard ways. You get in paths that you wish you wasn't in when you don't follow his commandments and his teachings. But we progress. Verse 32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Not only are they refusing to obey him, refusing to listen to him and saying he has a devil, but now they were literally wanting to put their hands on him and arrest him and take him and stone him and put him to death. It's been a long plot. And he wouldn't even go to the jury because of their unbelief and the fact that they sought to kill him. He stayed in a boat in Galilee for a long season. Then said Jesus unto them, "Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto them that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come." Let them know that just a little bit longer, and I won't be with you. It's going to be a great disappointment for those followers of Jesus that when he sends, remember what the disciples said as he took them up on the mount, upon the temple mount, above the temple mount, and he lifted up his hands to glory, and he departed. He lost his gravitational force on the Mount of Olives and ascended up into heaven. And the disciples were sore amazed. They realized that he was leaving in bodily appearance. But yet he had told them and instructed them, I will leave you, but I will not leave you comfortless. I'll send the promise of the Father. And he is still with us today. The Comforter has come. I love the old song, The Comforter Has Come. And the Holy Spirit has come into this world to illuminate the minds of those that's lost, to bring conviction upon those people that's lost and undone, and to show them, point them, that there is a Savior, Christ Jesus, the Lord. Men as a whole, women as a whole, children as a whole, don't want to believe, don't follow them. So he told them just a little bit longer, and I'll be leaving. Then the Jews, verse 35, they said among themselves, whither will he go? We shall not find him. Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? Well, they got that right. He's going to the Gentiles. Of course, he's going to use Paul to do that later on. The Jews just knew enough to be confused. That's all they knew. Will he go and teach the Gentiles? We won't receive him. Don't want him. We hope he goes, of course. Oh, he did go, thank God, to us Gentiles, did he not? But thank God he still has a work to do. He's not gone to Calvary yet. What manner of saying is this that he said? You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. And the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood there and cried, saying, I want to make some illustrations. I want to, by the hope of the Holy Spirit, paint a picture of what's going on. We know Jesus has been at the Feast of the Tabernacle a full week, 7 days. Scripture just said the last day. They have done what the Scripture told them to do, 7 days. And then an amazing thing happens. Brother Gunn, if you'll come up, I'm going to let him play the part of a chief priest, and I'm going to ask him to choose some priests to follow him. We're going to illustrate kind of what was taking place that last day of the Feast of the Tabernacles. Go ahead and pick some, if you will. And as he's picking these priests, when Jesus and was going to say what he's going to say, he had a reason for doing that. One day, remember, he was standing and he was at the Sea of Galilee on a different day. And there were people that weren't receiving the children. And he says it would be better for you to put a millstone, which is one of those large weighted stone that they grind meal with, and hang around your neck and be drowned in the midst of the sea. And he was no doubt pointing to the Sea of Galilee, which was over 1,000 feet deep in places. Be better for you. And this particular day, he has been at the Feast of Tabernacle. He has been in the temple teaching. He's been instructing. No one's been following him that day. But this day, he is somewhere around. And the priest's charge on that last day is every one of them, they take a vial, a basin of gold. And this is what the Feast of Tabernacle was. And they're going to go down to the Pool of Siloam. And they're going to dip out some water from the Pool of Siloam. And I want you gentlemen to march down. Now remember, the Pool of Siloam was a deep place in Jerusalem because the water in the Pool of Siloam came from the spring outside the city wall. And the spring was outside the city wall, so they didn't want to go outside the city wall. But the source of spring was the Gihon Springs, which means the virgin fountain. And as they were going from the Temple Mount, I want you to go down this way and circle around. It's a long way. And all the crowd's watching because it is a big event. All of Jerusalem is there. So if you lead them down, then come back in a little bit and ascend back up the steps. And as they're going, the Pool of Siloam was down some gorgeous steps. It had to be very low because the Gihon Springs outside the city wall down in the valley was the only source of water in Jerusalem. And in Hezekiah's day, remember, he had a tunnel dug from the Gihon Springs underneath the city wall and dug a big trench and made the pool of Siloam for the water to go in, because when the other kings of other nations would come and surround the city walls, they had to have water within the city walls. So the priests now, they're going down. And remember, Jesus said to do that, God told Moses to do that, and all the people do that, because this water represents, Jesus is the water of life. It represents what they were out in the wilderness wandering. And God's big on you and I remembering some events in their life. And they were to remember every year what God had done for them. They were in bondage in Egypt, but with a strong arm, God led them out. And then they were in the wilderness wandering with no water and no food. But remember, Jesus was instructed to speak to the rock, and the rock issued forth water. And that water was from a rock, which is Christ. And they were to remember, of course, they didn't understand all that. They just know what happened, and they were going to remember Scripture. So they're going to come back in now, and they're going to climb back up the steps which leads from the Gihon Springs. And as they're coming, all the crowds are looking on. They're rejoicing. They're singing. And the chief priest says these words.
For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw out water the wells of salvation.
I want you to read that again, because they did this all the way up. It's a long pathway, and they kept saying this thing from the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah had written this 750 years after Moses had given that commandment, and 750 years before Christ Jesus. So as the priests were coming up, they were quoting this. Brother Gunn, quote that again, please.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and be not afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy ye shall draw out the wells of salvation. And in that day ye shall say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, and declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord.
And as they were crying that which they were commanded to do, Jesus, somewhere in the midst, said these words. They've been talking about what Isaiah said. And, of course, Isaiah was writing about Christ Jesus, who was going to come be the water of life. He was looking ahead to Christ Jesus because he was going to come and be the manna, the living manna. He was going to be the rock. He's going to be everything. And as they, no doubt, were crying out, there was some time in the event, it was the last day, Jesus said these words. Now, if you can imagine the crowd, they're watching the priest, and they're listening to the words, and they're all rejoicing as well as they should, because they're following directions from Moses. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. He that believeth in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You can be seated. Thank you so much. Remember what they're doing. They're going back and they're getting that water out of the Pool of Siloam, which is from the virgin fountain, the Gihon Springs. And they're going to come and they surround themselves on the Temple Mount around the altar where the sacrifice is being made. And they're going to pour from those golden vials water on the sacrifice. What they don't know and don't understand, that Jesus is the sacrifice. And he is pointing to himself. They are doing the ritual, but the water and the weary land was me, rejected of man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Isaiah wrote about him 750 years before this event. They're chanting and reading the book of Isaiah, and Jesus says these words, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Said the same thing to the Samaritan woman. Says the same thing to you and to me. He is the living water. If you drink of me, you'll never thirst. I'd like to give a report tonight. As a 12-year-old boy, spiritually, the Lord appeared to me. The Holy Ghost that was shouting me showed me that I was lost and undone and needed of a Savior. Illuminated my mind and showed me how to believe in my heart that He was the living water. I believed the report. Didn't understand it, but I believed it. I bowed my knees and confessed that I was a sinner. And He filled me with the Spirit of God, with Himself. I drank from the brook. I drank from the rock, and I have never thirsted again. Oh, glory to God. Now the Jews, they were standing there quite amazed, because they've been doing it this way all their lives, but they've never before seen anything like that. Someone declares that living water, I am that water of life. The one that we hated, the one we rejected, the one we don't believe in. Can you imagine the embarrassment those four brothers had? That's our brother. He's making the fool out of himself. So they thought. Let's see what the Jews thought about that event. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is a prophet. Some people believed. Others said, this is Christ. This is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Find excuses, just as the world is doing today. Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hold on him. Jesus, the living water, attends the Feast of Tabernacles, his last feast that he would attend down here on earth, because he's soon coming back to go to Golgotha's hill, Mount Calvary. He's going to give his life freely. No man taketh his life, but he lays his life down, a supreme sacrifice. And just as they poured water on that sacrifice that day, he is that sacrifice, the only sacrifice that will ever be needed to get us from earth to glory. Thank God for the living bread. Thank God for Christ Jesus. Thank God for him being the water that quenches our spiritual thirst. Many believed. Some said this is the Christ. Many rejected. The same age-long problem. It's always been like that. Jesus went down to Jerusalem. He looked over Jerusalem from the hillside, the Mount of Olives. How oft, and he wept, how oft would I have gathered you together, but you would not. And he still, no doubt today, is stretched out with, remember those stretched out arms they had at Calvary. And the Holy Spirit is still hovering over men, women, boys, and girls across the world, telling them about Jesus, the living water, and the living bread. And when you drink of him, you will never, ever thirst. Thank God for his precious word. Thank God for Calvary. We'll be celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection again very soon. We celebrate every day, and thank God that we can. Would you stand, your heads are bowed. Misty, would you please come and sing a song of invitation, whatever God puts on your heart. You may be here tonight, and you may be as some of those Jews were, not accepting, but rejecting. But tonight would be a good night for you just to come bow before him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he echoed it quite that day, very accurately, I am the living water. And if you'll drink of me, that water that you're getting from the pool of Siloam that flows from the Gihon Springs, that's a symbol, and it's a good symbol. but you got a drink of me. Symbolism won't get the job done. Carrying the Bible to church won't get the job done. You have to believe in Him and accept Him as your Savior. Whatever your needs are tonight, as they sing.